gerichtet. Na, so, Hare Krishna. I wish you a wonderful good morning for an ecstatic day in Krishna consciousness. Let me just see what is the text today. I'm sorry. Chapter 14, text 40. 14, okay. Oh yeah, here is the marker. Oh, Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading today from the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 14, text 14. It will be a heavy text, my dear devotees. Fasten your seat belts already.
Yada tu para badayanda.
Not all. Atmane no panamati.
Tadahi pitriputra. Tadahi pitriputra. Vaishmata priti putran. Vasakalu bakshayati.
This doesn't have a normal Sanskrit meter, so I think we should just go to the word-by-word translation.
Yada,
when,
to,
but because of misfortune.
Parabardaya,
in spite of exploiting all others. Please, entrez, s'il vous plaît.
Andaha,
blind, atmane, for himself, na upanamati, does not fall into one's share,
tada,
at that time,
he
certainly,
pitriputra,
of the father or sons.
Vahishmataha.
As insignificant as a piece of grass.
Pitriputran.
Father or sons.
Va
or
saha.
He, the conditioned soul.
Kalu,
indeed,
Bakshayati,
gives trouble to. Okay, now, Hare Krishna, I still do not know what is your good name, Mataji, the wife of Radha Chaitanya. Vinod Manjari. I am not sure if every one of you, of the devotees, speak English and the guests speak English. Some of you look rather French speaking. Is this true? English for everyone? English? No, English no, yes. How do you say it? How do you ask this in French? Qui ne se parle anglais? Who doesn't speak English? Something like this, no? Sorry, je ne sais pas français. What to do? Yeah? Mais translation, s'il vous plaît. No? Yeah? You can speak in French, how, where you sit yourself? Yeah. Yes. C'est un grand plaisir. Yes. Yeah. Or maybe what we do is because, let us see. Could you maybe, would you be comfortable to sit next door, and then you could yes, and then you can be really loud and translate really like your heart tells you to translate. Good. Hare Krishna. Traduction, s'il vous plaît. I went to school many, many years ago and had to learn France. I mean, when I was in school, it was a whole drama because I was so uninterested in everything, including mathematics and France, French language. Okay, so let us now go into the translation. Now, our Mataji, you need a book, right? What do we do? I don't know. I have only the Bhagavad Gita here. Yeah? Otherwise, you can give an enhanced translation, you know, using all your philosophical knowledge about the point and just bringing it. Oh, it's such a heavy. Otherwise, let us not entangle ourselves too much. It's all right. Translation, Mataji, now you can must really concentrate. I would suggest that you just, that I read the text, and then you just hear, and then you give a summary according to your memory skills. Translation. In this material world, when the conditioned soul cannot arrange for his own maintenance, despite exploiting others, he tries to exploit his own father or son, taking away that relative's possession, although they may be very insignificant. If he cannot acquire things from his father, son, or other relatives, he is prepared to give them all kinds of trouble. here we find an explanation of how a conditioned soul, when he is unable to maintain himself, steals even from his relatives or gives them all kinds of trouble. Purport. Once we actually saw a distressed man steal ornaments from his daughter just to maintain himself. As the English proverb goes, necessity knows no law. When a conditioned soul needs something, he forgets his relationship with his relatives and exploits his own father or son. We also receive information from Srimad Bhagavatam that in this age of Kali, the time is quickly approaching when a relative will kill another relative for a small farthing. Farthing is a little amount of money. Without Krishna consciousness, people will deteriorate further and further into a hellish condition wherein they will perform abominable acts. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya De Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vashadi Govaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Nama Rama, Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna. Jamashtami, it seems to me you are going through some discomfort. You are going through some discomfort. You can take a chair. We have ample, 3 chairs we have. No? Tolerable. Good. So, once again, the text, when a conditioned soul cannot arrange for his own maintenance, despite trying everything to exploit others, he tries to exploit his own father or son, taking away that relative's possessions, although they may be very insignificant. If he cannot acquire things from his father, son, or other relatives, he is prepared to give them all kinds of trouble. Hare Krishna. What a dark reality. It means really the climax of selfishness, that for one's own benefit, one is prepared in Kali Yuga to give trouble even to close and distant relatives and take from them. Now, quite different from this is a quality which I would like to discuss today, the quality of being magnanimous. This is a quality of Lord Krishna which also needs to be imbibed or taken up by Krishna's devotees. Magnanimous. Rupa Goswami defines Vadanya or magnanimity, he who is a heroic giver is called magnanimous. Just see the difference here is someone who is, you know, not afraid. He's heroic in exploiting others. So Krishna is the opposite, the total opposite. He is a heroic giver. In the scriptures, we find an example how Krishna is able, or is wants from his heart to satisfy the desire of all those who approach him with a wish. Everyone who comes to God wanting something, the Lord gives him. And he is so absolutely determined that he supersedes the famous Chintamani jewel, the Kamadhenu cow, and the Kalpadruma tree in his ability to give magnanimously to others. Who are these three? Well, the Chintamani jewel is able to transform anything with its touch into pure gold. The spiritual world, the earth in the spiritual world, is made of such Chintamani jewels. I was yesterday thinking about it. I was cleaning a pot, which I needed to boil water, and I took earth from, you know, where I now live. It's before my apartment. I took some earth to scrub the pot, like I had learned from India, where you use earth as a cleaning agent. And as I was lifting the earth, there were some stones and everything. And I thought, wow, in the spiritual world, this earth would be jewels in the dust of jewels, Chintamani jewels. And I was meditating about this verse, which I'm now reading to you, that this Chintamani jewels can really fulfill all desires. It's just wish stones. Huh? Or Krishna is more generous in giving than the Kamadhenu cow. Maybe you have heard about these cows. They don't just give milk like ordinary cows, but you can approach such a cow and then somehow from the pores of her body will come forth what you desire from them. You can desire everything, chariots or trees which bear fruit. It's really not limited. And finally, Krishna is more magnificent, magnanimous, I wanted to say, than the Kalpadruma tree, who is a tree, a wish-fulfilling tree, under which people can not only find shade, but again, which produces the fruits of all the desires who come there. Just like an ordinary tree has fruits, like let's say apples or oranges, the Kalpadruma tree produces everything you want, even another human being. If you wish, if you are not married and you wish to marry, then you desire from the Kalpadruma tree and chup, the perfect match comes from the tree. It's amazing. These trees are to be found in the spiritual world. You know, in this world, we have an imitation of these automats, and you can press bottom. I want mineral water, and then it makes clang, 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 and you get a bottle of mineral water. Or no, I prefer orange juice. You know, and then clang, 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 a bottle of orange juice comes. So these are, but they are limited. You couldn't press a button. I want a new toothbrush, you know, and then clang, 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 a toothbrush comes. No, if they're not made like this, you won't get everything you want from them. But these examples, Chintamani jewel, the Kamadenu cow, and the Kalpadruma tree, says that Krishna really is not limited in what he gives to you. Krishna, actually, when you approach him with the desire, is so magnanimous, so vadanya, that he will give you everything you want. Srila Prabhupada comments, in the spiritual kingdom of Lord Krishna, named Goloka Vrindavan, there are Surabhi cows. Sorry. Which give unlimited quantities of milk, Surabhi cows. No? There are desire trees from which anyone can take all kinds of fruits as much as he may desire. The land is made of touchstone, which when touched to iron will transform it into gold. In other words, everything in the spiritual kingdom, the abode of Krishna, is wonderfully opulent. So Krishna, this is the point, Krishna will give everyone everything. And that's what happened every morning in Dvaraka. Krishna lived there in 16,108 palaces. Simultaneously, he was residing in them, with a queen, and daily Krishna gave 13,000. This is something for Malati, who is a manager. 54 lavishly ornamented cows in charity from each of these 16,108 palaces. Hare Krishna. This means, if you have a calculator, that Krishna donated each day 208 million cows. Pandu, this is so much that the glass falls out of the... this is beyond human imagination, my God. Hare Krishna, this is the truth. It's not a lie. It is a fact. Let me just repair my unfaithful glasses, who gave up their life when they heard this number. Aga Kadabra, I hope it stays. Now. So, anyone who can daily donate 208 million cows, you must imagine, he is very magnanimous. He is a heroic giver. You know, he doesn't hold back. He just gives and gives and gives. There is a verse which describes Lord Krishna in this nature of just giving, totally opposite to what we hear here in the Bhagavatam text of taking, even from a father or a son, or as Prabhupada says, from the one's own daughter. The verse goes like this. I think some of you know it, and if you want, you can joyfully chant it with me. Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadati Kamam Tam Atmastam Yenu Pashyanti Diras Tesham Shanti Shashvati Netaresham. Of the innumerable eternal conscious beings, there is one eternal supreme being. He maintains the innumerable living beings according to individual work and reaction of work. By his expansion as Paramatma, that supreme Lord is also present within the heart of every living being. Only through saintly persons who can see that supreme Lord within and without can one attain perfect and eternal peace. Yeah? So it says there are innumerable conscious beings, but amongst them there's one eternal supreme being who is maintaining the innumerable living entities accordingly. No? So Krishna does this to each one of us. He's not only magnanimous in Dwaraka, in his eternal kingdom of God. Krishna is magnanimous, that means a heroic giver, in the created universe, where he takes care of each one of us. He takes care of us by giving us the water and the air and the food which we require, and he fulfills us according to our past karma, our innumerable desires. Well, some of you, I can see, have no faith in this. You doubt that Krishna takes care of you, but you think Krishna takes from you. This is not good to think like this. Krishna actually has heard your desire to start a spiritual life, and he has given you everything. We should not think, because Krishna doesn't always give the way I want him to give me, therefore he is not magnanimous. No. Just like a father who sometimes does not fulfill all the desires of his son, knowing well that some of these fulfillments would disturb the son, Krishna does not always fulfill every desire according to the, let us say, ignorant request which is made to him. No, Krishna is very magnanimous in fulfilling the desires in such a way that they will not entangle us in material life any longer. Sometimes this may result in Krishna taking away something when he sees it is necessary, so that the living entity can make further progress. I'm reminded of when Krishna in Vrindavan took all the wealth which had been accumulated to be given to Indra in an Indra Yagya. Krishna just took the same wealth away from Indra and used it for another puja, the Govardhan puja. So Indra became furious and attacked Krishna and Krishna's people with a rainstorm which had the force to wipe out Vrindavan from the surface of the earth. Krishna, of course, protected his faithful devotees by lifting the Govardhan hill and granted them shelter under this hill so that they could survive. So later, when Krishna went around Govardhan to inspect the damage which was made by that attack of Indra. Indra had seen his terrible mistake. He had understood, wow, I attacked the Lord. I'm only the ruler of the universe because I'm appointed by Krishna. And I went against my master like a dog who bites into the hand which feeds him. And he came to before Lord Krishna, shaking with fear. He put down his mukut, his crown, which was as brilliant as a sun, and lay it right on the top of Krishna's lotus feet and fell down in Shashtanga Pranam and really begged forgiveness. Krishna asked him, Indra, you are my devotee. How could you have attacked me and my people, the Brajavasis? How could you have done it? Indra said, I was intoxicated by pride. This intoxication of pride, it is stronger than belladonna. I don't know if you know belladonna. That's an intoxicant which is used in black magic. It helps you to fly on levitate on brooms. It's a very powerful intoxicant, more than the light ones which some of you might be used to from your previous engagement in the material world. You know, it's very, very heavy. But the intoxication through opulence and power is more strong than an ordinary drug of this world. It is said when you are having wealth and opulence, you are 100 times more blinded than if you take an intoxicant. 100 times more. You might have seen it when you meet super rich people. They are just very much gone, intoxicated by wealth. So Indra said, I was so intoxicated with pride due to my wealth that I went against you. But then Krishna said, but you could have used your intelligence. Everyone knows with intelligence, when he gets a little bit proudful. And then Indra said, I'm sorry, but I was also overcome by anger. And anger always steals one's intelligence. So in this way, I went against you, my Lord. Now the most embarrassing thing has happened, which can happen to a lecturer. I have forgotten why I made this point. This is something which should never happen. Takes too much water by traveling. Yeah, thank you. Krishna took now from Indra all his pride. Krishna went directly against Indra. Indra had, when his yajna was taken away from him, had attacked Krishna so heavily. Do you know how Krishna reacted? He just lifted the Govardhan hill and he did totally ignore Indra's attack. Not with one word Krishna spoke about what was happening. It's almost as if now Sharanga Thakur would attack me and try to push me from the seat, and I would not even mention it once, but simply continue to lecture, ignoring him totally. That would be very, very defiant. So Krishna did not even pay attention to the thunderstorm. He just lifted the Govardhan hill on the nail of his left hand, you know, just a little finger like this, and he just played the flute. He totally ignored Indra's attack. Indra took all the power which he had to try to demolish Krishna and the Brajbasis, to take all the pride away from him. Krishna didn't even look at him. He didn't even notice anything. He was just so absolutely, now I can speak some French, nonchalant, that he really did not pay attention at all. This is how Krishna deals with someone who is against him. First of all, he takes things away from him, and then he just ignores him. Why did he do this? The Lord explained, I have done this to take away the intoxication of your false pride. So this is how Krishna sometimes deals with us. He is the magnanimous giver to his devotees, but he also sometimes, when he sees that they have gone in the wrong direction, takes away their pride, which intoxicates them to such an extent that they even go against Krishna. No? Indra is such an example. So we should not always expect Krishna to give according to our terms. Sometimes Krishna may take away when he sees it's more beneficial than giving or fulfilling the desire of devotees. Sometimes Krishna acts like this, but in this way he still remains magnanimous. He remains the caretaker of his devotees. So I will make a last point now. The devotees of Krishna should also learn to become magnanimous. I want to speak about this because I'm the guest of your community, and in a community we sometimes see that when we live together we become very much oriented to somehow make our living, to somehow have everything which fulfills our basic needs. And because we live in a difficult time and are poor by nature as devotees, we don't have a very, very steady income in gold coins every day. So therefore we may sometimes lose this quality of magnanimous life, and we may just think about our needs and what we still require in order to be happy and fulfilled. A devotee of Krishna should develop the quality of of being magnanimous. He should become a giver, not a taker. It's a very important rule in a community. We want to have a good community life with healthy, happy relations there. Once, when Krishna went with his friends through the forest of Vrindavan, he noticed the trees who were giving shade and fruits to all who lived in the forest. And he said to his friends, "My dear Vishala, my dear Rishabha, just look at these most fortunate trees of Vrindavan." They have dedicated their lives to the welfare of others. Individually, they are tolerating all kinds of natural disturbances, such as hurricanes, torrents of rains, scorching heat, and piercing cold, but they are very careful to relieve our fatigue and give us shelter. And then Krishna speaks as the trees speaks of the trees as role models for human beings. Just like the trees, he says to his friends, people should not deny, people charity when they approach us. Just like no one is denied shelter by these trees, and they supply various kinds of facilities to the human society, such as leaves, flowers, fruit, shade, roots, barks, flavor extracts, you know, like the sandal tree makes this beautiful sandalwood fragrance and fuel. We should be noble and sacrifice or engage in the welfare of other living entities. This is what the magnanimous Lord expects from his devotees. He expects that they also become magnanimous. Not like the people here in this verse of the Bhagavatam, who are so selfish that they even exploit their own sons and daughters. Imagine your father comes and steals your clock from you or your ring and so on. This is how people in Kali Yuga will be. Devotees should not follow this development of Kali Yuga atmosphere. They should be able to give freely. They should see what is it that another person needs from me, and they should try to give it. Sometimes, my dear devotees, people just need a little attention, a little friendliness, a little bit human interaction. Then they can perform much better their spiritual lives. I've seen that. Sometimes in our big communities, where everyone is busy with his own life, this attention and friendliness and maybe even understanding of the other situation is required to be given in a magnanimous way. It is important. I have learned something in my life. You know, when I was in material life, I was always trying to keep everything together so that I could live. And I remembered I had one bank account, which was quite full. So when I became interested in Krishna consciousness, the devotees wanted to go from Hamburg, it's one of the capital towns in Germany, to London to meet Srila Prabhupada. They had preached to me, why don't you also go and see Srila Prabhupada? And I was convinced I wanted to go with the devotees. And then the devotees revealed to me, we don't have any money to go to London. Can you help? And first I lied and I said, I'm poor like you. But then I thought, my God, I can't enter the kingdom of God by lies. I better tell the truth. And I came back the next day and said, I have a bank account. And although I did not want to give Lakshmi, I felt they are so poor. They are so poor. Look, they want to see their spiritual master and have no money. And I remember I went on my own decision. I was at that time not yet a devotee, so I kept my own interest
first and foremost. But I remember, I went and I took everything what I had. It was not so much from the bank account, at least let us say from one bank account. I have to be perfectly truthful to you. And I took that and gave it to the whole temple. You know, the whole temple and the congregation and the cats and the everyone who lived in the temple, you know, to come and see Prabhupada. I still remember this. At first it was a little bit a pain, you know, because I was stingy. But then I gave it to the temple. Here, take this whole bank account and go to Prabhupada. And I still remember, I felt so absolutely relieved by being magnanimous. I felt a tremendous happiness and power entering my veins by just being magnanimous. I never forget this experience. And later I took this experience into my service where I try to preach selflessly to everyone who wants to hear and make preaching programs all over. And I can see whenever I'm selflessly giving my time and my energy to others, then one feels just so absolutely correct. One feels somehow one is connected with a perspective which is divine, because Krishna is having this quality of being a heroic giver. I like this word, heroic giver. He gives heroically. So in that way, I think we should all feel, live today's day in this way. What can I do today to give something to others? It is maybe a present. It is maybe a time. It is maybe attention. It is maybe a kind word, or maybe something to help alleviate misery. Because we find in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that this giving to others is parakara upakara. This most precious gift to others is the gift of Krishna consciousness. Maybe you can find today someone to whom you can tell something about Krishna. That is supposed to be the most magnanimous gift, where you awaken someone from the illusion of material life. Do something, maybe you write an email. I heard today in the Bhagavatam lecture that Krishna expects his devotees to be like trees who freely give their produce to others. And I heard that Krishna gave, listen to this, our Bhagavatam reader lost his glass. It fell out because it was such a point, but we all noticed it. It was amazing that he gives 208 million cows to the Brahmanas each day. So, my dear devotees, let us. No one of us can give 208 million cows daily, I don't think. Anyone, maybe Jamashtami, who is a rich teacher. But we can give our attention, we can give Krishna consciousness and help people to wake up to blissful Krishna consciousness. This is how we can be magnanimous. Please, I'm serious. I will ask you the day after, that means tomorrow when I meet you, what have you done with this inspiration to be magnanimous, to be a heroic giver? I will ask one, each one of you, and if you look at me, I will draw my conclusions. I'm joking. I'm not like that. it inspires you, please do something with this today. You should not try to not go to bed without giving something. I think Jamashtami is already getting something out of his plastic bag. A medicine for you. I thought you wanted to give me dust from Vrindavan. I thought it was in the plastic bag. Hare Krishna. Okay, is this a good proposal? I want to tell you why I end this class by giving you a task. You have heard already so much, but it's now important that we act upon what we learn from the Bhagavatam and live with the Bhagavatam. If we can live with the Bhagavatam, in other words, take the inspirations from the Bhagavatam into our daily lives, our life will become truly divine. Good. Let me end here. It's now 10 minutes to nine. When do we end here? There's no note here. This is the end, I think, huh? Yes. Time for questions, or do you have questions? Yeah, Jamashtami has a question. Yeah, when you give, expecting something in return, you know, I give you something that you give me something, then it's not so powerful. That's in the mode of passion, I believe. Yeah. That's mostly done, you know. I give you something to for your birthday, but don't forget my birthday, please. Yes, we should be magnanimous. I think the word magnanimous means something like freely giving, you know, without expectance of return. Some of you are brahmanas, I think, brahmanically initiated. It's said that we have six duties as brahmana: to study the scriptures, to perform sacrifice, and to live by receiving charity. These are the first three, but the last three duties are: we should not just study the scriptures for ourselves, we should teach the scripture. Then we should perform yajna for the benefit of others, not that we earn our livelihood. That's how brahmanas, they do yajnas and they get donations. And then the last one is we should give in charity. It's important as a brahmana to do this. Also, you can give attention, time, or you can preach, give Krishna consciousness to others. But also when we are, especially when we are grihasthas and also sannyasis, they should sometimes give monetary donations when they have means to support others in their Krishna consciousness. Like when you find a poor devotee and you have Lakshmi, and this poor devotee needs to go to Vrindavan, you know, give him some little something, you know, something. Or we have in Vrindavan, we started something, a widow program, because the widows are often very, you know, treated very badly. We want to treat them nicely, give them prasadam and a wool blanket and so on. This charity is very good. It makes the heart go very soft. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And give without, this is Jamashtami's points, which he has nicely extracted from me. Give without expecting something in return. Hare Krishna. sometimes really this, I'm really honest with you, it's just if you sometimes just wish someone a very good morning, you know, that is sometimes enough to help that person to do wonderfully in their days. It should come from the heart, obviously. It's not difficult to give charity. No, it's easy. Just be a little creative.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.